The rules of further salvation is going to be revealed when? In the last time. Do you see it? Now it's there. It's been in heaven all the time, hasn't it? We found out in Timothy that Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That means it's there. God shined the light on it, but it was reserved. It was kind of, can I say, in the showcase. And if the jewelry is in the showcase and you've got a dollar down on it, is it yours? Well, it's got your name on it, doesn't it? Huh? They put your name on it. Got a dollar on it. Still in the showcase. It's still shining the lights on it. Are you following what I'm driving at? Is it yours? Can you wear it? You got to wait out the time, in other words, and make the payment. Get the rest of it. So in this case, what I'm trying to get at is that this is a salvation that's yet for the future. Even though they were already saving spirit, being saving soul, here's something that's yet for the last time. How many of you, like I, believe that these are the last days? Huh? Do you believe that? I believe that too. So if these are the last days, what follows? What else can you... What's the only conclusion? There ought to be a revelation then of this salvation that's been in the jury case, if we can say it that way. The light's been shining on it. But how about that? Dad's about ready to make the final payment. And jeweler's about ready to pull it out and hand it to us. Is that okay? Do you follow this parallel here? Okay. So, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now, for season of need be, are in readiness through manifold temptations. With the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing, that's the apocalypse, of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the what? Now, do you see the word receiving? Is that present? Present, progressive? Do you see what I'm driving at? Because always the salvation of the soul is what? Present, progressive. They're receiving. They already, past tense, received the salvation of their what? But they were receiving, present progressively, the salvation of their souls, of which salvation the prophets had inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Because there's going to be a time when you can actually come to the end of your faith. Well, now somebody said, without faith it's sin. Isn't that Bible? Bible students, give me a nod. Is that right? Yes. Without faith it's sin. But now is the time you actually come to the end of faith. Are you following? You see? Well, if you come to the end of faith, and it's biblical, and we don't want to sin, then we have to enter something else. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, because hope is future, and faith is what? Present. So did, what was that word we emphasized over there, hope, in verse 3? Because that hope is something that they were waiting for. Now in verse 9, they're receiving the end of their faith, the salvation of the soul, it's present progressive, and when they get to the end of their faith, then they turn hope into faith, sight. That's right. Then they have it. That which they've been hoping for is now manifest. And if it's manifest, it's manifest not by hope, but by faith. For that's the substance of things hoped for. So let's say it another way. I don't know whether I'm getting this across. This must be a really deep lesson tonight. But look, the salvation of the Spirit is by faith and grace. By grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2:8-9, isn't it? But the same Bible says in Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we looked up all the scriptures for the salvation of the Spirit, and thereby faith and grace. But all the scriptures we could find for the salvation of the soul are by faith and works. I'm going to say it again. Grace and faith for the spirit, faith and works for the soul. Because you can have spirit salvation and soul salvation now. Because faith is for the now. Now you can have it. You can be saved now in spirit and in soul. Or you can be progressively saved in soul. But you can't be saved in body now because all the body salvation scriptures aren't by faith, aren't by grace, aren't by works, thereby hope. And hope is always for the future. But one of these days we'll come to the end of faith. And if we get to the end of faith, then we'll be in hope. Because we will have left the realm of, see, left the realm of grace of faith, now we've left the realm of faith through works, now we're in of hope. And we will then manifest in the physical body that which for thousands of years even prophets and angels have desired to look into, that salvation, because we've come to the end of the salvation of the soul mind, then all the attitudes will be right, changed, perfect, and now we're ready for the glory of the Father in the physical bodies, which we're hoping for at the moment, but in just a few more days, in fact, I believe at 9 o'clock, see, I'm conducting my life as though it's a very momentary event, not prophesying, of course, but it ought to be pretty soon. Okay, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, that's the Spirit of anointing which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the doxa, the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which had preached the gospel with you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Wow. That's really girding up. Be sober. And hope. There it is. Hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought to you at the apocalypse of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, is it written, be holy for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And so now I keep emphasizing the fact that we should come to God through faith and then through hope. There's nothing wrong with hoping for this third salvation, and there's a group that's going to get it. Seeing you've purified your mind, souls, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, the truth is the Word of God that's got to be united by the Spirit. And how do we know that you've done it? Through the unfeigned phileo of the brethren, see that ye agape one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, what did I just say then? In one case, he says, see that you've done all this. Now you're learning to phileo. Now see that you learn to what? Agape, for these are progressive forms of love. See that you agape one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. And I'm emphasizing being born again because in 2:2, it talks about babies, not of the corruptible seed. Jesus said you must be born of the what? Spirit. Isn't that what he said? You've got to be born. And of course, you remember he talked to Nicodemus came tonight and he said, you must be what? Well, he said, how can I do that? And again, into my mother's womb. He said, no. If you're born of the Spirit, you're Spirit. You remember all this? So it's not that kind of a being born. It's not a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible. By the what? What's the incorruptible seed? Verse 23. By the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I'm going to say that again. How do you get born again? Well, it's going to take the planting of seed, isn't it, to bring forth the birth? And it's got to be the what kind of seed? Well, it's the incorruptible seed, not the natural sperm, but the what? Jesus said, my words are the sperm. Didn't he say that over and over again? Don't you remember that? He said, the sower went out to sow. The seed is the sperm. My words are the seed. My words are the sperm. So we find out it's the word of God that causes us to be born. For as all flesh is grass, and all the glory, man, the flower of grass, the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the rhema, which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire ye the sincere what? All right, we're starting out as newborn babes drinking the milk, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Now here we're getting the idea of the stone again as it builds up. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then we got into the scripture I started with. So then Peter calls us lively stones. And sometimes we refer to each other as rockhead. As lively stones. Well, if we're rockheads, we're not very lively stones. But if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he'll liven up your stone. He'll quicken your mortal body. So we find now that we are actually built in a house. And we are stones. Are you following this? Well, let's see if you do. Turn around and look at each other for a minute, would you? Here they are. Turn around and look at them. These are God's stones. Turn around and look at them, will you? There they are. These are the lively stones. Turn around. Turn back a little smile. There, look at them. There they are. These are the, these are the smiling stones. Okay. And these are the ones that God is going to use to build his house. But the house is built on what? Right. He's the head of the corner. Let's turn to Romans for just a minute. Romans 9:23. Jesus Christ is the head. But then there's just a little bit more than that. Because they sought it not by faith, they stumbled at the stumbling stone. I wonder what made them stumble at the stumbling stone. Let's go back and see. Verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. Even the righteousness which is by what? I want to say that again because I'm emphasizing faith and works. And what's that other one I'm emphasizing? Hope and a little bit of grace in there too. Let's start again. The Gentiles, which have not followed after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. How? Through what? Through faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not obtained unto the law of righteousness. Why? They sought it not by faith, but as it were, works of the... Aha, now you see we're back where I like to be again. Because what's the thing I've been emphasizing over and over again? That the law of Moses is going to have to what? Is going to, what, the Stercheon, you remember the lesson on the Stercheon? At the coming of the end of the age and the beginning of the age, what happens to the Stercheon? It's consumed, it's burned up. but because Israel had been depending on the law to obtain their righteousness, and had actually set up a society based on law, it was too much of a social shock to go into the freedom and the life and the love and the liberty of Jesus Christ. So God, in His mercy, gave to Israel the gospel of the circumcision, a mixture of law and grace, so that they could live through it and adapt to the social shock of coming into grace out of law. And what have we been doing for the last 2,000 years? Seems to me we've been going more back into the law than we've been going into grace. I don't know about you, but just an awful lot of the places that I've been and visited say, they tell me, sister, that God can't hear you pray with your hair cut. I've heard it said that God will never hear you pray with jewelry. I've heard it said that... You've heard it said, haven't you? Yeah. I now know where you went to church. And let's see. I've heard it said. How many have heard it said? All those kind of things. And on it goes. And so we've been mixing up law, commandments, traditions of men, touch not, taste not, handle not. I wonder if anybody could go to heaven in a sports car. I've heard it said you can get there quicker on a motorcycle. Is that right, Bob? Well, I don't know, but we've had all kinds of ideas about holiness. Are you hearing me? And I'm not here just to make fun, but boy, we've come through some tough times of holiness ideas, ways to please God. But now we found out it's not what we do, it's what Jesus did. Because it's not even our faith in Jesus, it's the faith of Jesus that saves us. We caught that or not. And so all we have to do is say, yep, I accept it. And then it begins. Somebody said salvation is free. Well, it is free at first. They told me salvation was free. So I went down to the altar and I got saved and I gave my heart to Jesus. Well, that was just the evangelist tricking me into it. Because after I got saved, I've been paying ever since. Come on now. Somebody give me a nod. How many Christians do we have been paying ever since? How many have noticed it's a bargain? We're glad to make the payments. And, of course, we understand that these payments are not debts. They're not something that you have to pay the church. But God does demand some things every once in a while of us. Is that correct? And so we found out that this salvation we have also been working out. Because the salvation that was by grace through faith was the salvation of the what? Spirit. It was full and free. But then after he got our spirits, then he began to work on our heads, and that began to hurt. And then he started banging away, and that's where we started having to pay the price, because that's the salvation that comes by what? Faith and works. But we're hoping for another one, and we're hoping that we'll get through that one as well. But these who were in Israel, verse 31, followed after the law of righteousness, and they have not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, they sought it by what? Works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, if you stumble on the rock of offense, what do you do? What causes your stumble? Go back and get it. Anyone who stumbles on the rock of offense is trying to find favor with God by works of the law, what they do. Are you hearing it? And if you know of a group or you yourself, and I myself have been involved in this in times past, then I have stumbled on that stumbling stone because I thought that I could please God by paying tithes. Is that offensive? We're not against tithes, but you see what I'm driving at? That's our righteousness is as what? And if I think that I can do anything to please God, then I what? Let's read it again now. If I do anything in the way of the law to please God, they stumbled at the stumbling stone because they sought it not by faith. So I'm working out my own salvation by what I'm doing or not doing, acts of commission or omission. And now, I myself am a castaway because I've tried to find favor with God by what I do, not what Jesus did. And I stumble over the same rock of offense that Israel stumbled on. Are you following? Am I stretching it too far? I don't think it's stretched at all. It's the same story. It's the same thing we've been seeing. And what have we been seeing? I praise God for Jesus Christ who already saved me. I am already past tense perfect. Look me over, man. Well, that's as perfect as you can get it, isn't it? Huh? See that? See how that matches there like that? I am perfect, but I'm not perfect in the body. Now am I perfect in the soul. I am perfect in spirit. I am a perfect spirit. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says I came from God. It says if I die, my body goes back to dust, but my spirit goes back to God who gave it in the first place. I'm God's gift to Mechanicsburg. Came directly from God, and here I am. In what? Spirit, not soul, and not body. After I'm perfect in soul, I won't say that. But anyway, those are some of the jokes we tell to get the point across that I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body, and my spirit has been saved. I'm perfect. You understand? If I die, I go back to heaven, where I came from. Not the soul, not the body. The soul can't praise the Lord in the grave, and neither can the body. Spirit has to go back, praise the Lord, because souls and bodies fear not him who can destroy the body, but destroy both soul and body, not spirit. Because spirits live forever, souls and bodies don't. They can be destroyed, they're given over to the destroyer. Am I talking too fast? Or give me a nod. All right. Well, I'm trying to emphasize the fact that Israel stumbled over the stumbling stone, and we know they stumbled over it because they tried to find favor with God through works of the law instead of faith in Jesus Christ. And what am I trying to warn all my friends about? Have you heard it? In the last 7 weeks over at Tom's house and last week here, plus the last 2 years, what have I been warning you about? Come out of the gospel of the... into the gospel of the... and be free in Jesus Christ. But how can we be out of the gospel of the circumcision when we're in society? And society demands that we keep all the rules and laws of the circumcision. Are you following this? Now, we're not talking about circumcision of the flesh, because I want everybody to know that as far as we're concerned, all of the girls we know have been circumcised. Well, and somebody said, how does that happen? But it's circumcision not of the outer flesh, but of the what? Heart. So there's a heart circumcision that works in the spirit, and we know that in the spirit we're all masculine. Isn't that right? So that fits that even the girls have got to be circumcised in what? In spirit and in heart. So that's the main thing right now. So that we use circumcision not as an act, but as a symbol for keeping all the what? law of Moses, finding favor with God by all those rules and laws. And so the Pharisees couldn't understand it, and they stumbled over the stumbling stone because Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. And Jesus began to break the laws. Not only that, but I don't know how it would have affected you, Mother, if your son would have been in the building knowing full well that you were asking him to come help you, and he said, "Who is my mother and where are my brothers?" And the Bible is very clear, honor your father and your mother. Is that correct? I want you to see something. Jesus always kept the spirit of the law. Is that correct? But he often broke the letter. Come on. When he talked to the woman and she said, "Our father is saying this mountain and you Jews saying that mountain is where we ought to worship, because Moses said in the place that I have chosen," and you remember that the Ethiopian eunuch had to go up to where? Jerusalem for to worship. But Jesus said, "The time is coming and now is when ye shall worship God in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. In spirit and in truth, you can worship him." You don't have to, listen, if we were still under Moses' law, do you know what we'd have to do in order to worship God? Everybody here would have to sign up for one of our trips. To go over there to worship. Well, praise the Lord. You don't have to.
This Bible teaching by David E. Ball will continue on cassette number 2.